It's actually a very, very unique parasha, in as much as it looks as if it's a regular sedra, in fact it has three parts of the seven chumshei Torah. In other words, we look at the Torah, we call it chamisha chumshei Torah, as if there are five chumashim in a Torah. In fact, there are seven chumashim in a Torah. Did that right there? Yes, Sheva Chumashim Torah. There's seven Chumashim Torah. There is Bereishis, Shemois, Vayikra, Bamidbar in Parshas Baloischa, until Vayhi Ben Sar Haroin. That's a fourth. Vayhi Ben Sar Haroin, which is a Chumash by itself, of two. And then from Parshas Baloischa until the end of Bamidbar, which is six, and then Devarim, which is seven. So in fact, there are seven Sfarim in the Torah. It's rumors in that in Mishlei. It says Chochmas Bamsa Beisa Chotzva Medeor Shiva. In other words, the Torah is built on seven, so we have seven Sfarim in the Torah. We have to understand why the Torah splits up the Torah in these different parts, and what's so significant why the Torah is so powerful, the message to say that there's a Torah this side and there's a Torah that side, and let's make it a separation in the middle. Even Sarah, by the way, has two nuns on either side, like it's in brackets. It's a separate sefer by itself. It has many, many halachas to it, by the way. It has many halachas on how long the sefer Torah has to be. A parshu hebin sarah orain. It's a sefer by itself. What's the idea behind this? So let's go through the parsha carefully, and let's see how Klal Yisrael looked at the beginning of the parsha, and how Klal Yisrael looked at the end of the parsha. Beginning of the parasha is a follow-on to Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar talks about the Degolim. It talks about Klal Yisrael being counted. Nasa is Rosh Kol B'na'as B'nei Yisrael. Each person is special. Each Nasi is special. Each grouping of three different tribes in each different level is special. Everything's special. And then we have Gerushim, which is counted, and Kahosa is counted, and Merari is counted. Each group is counted separately, as each group is unique and special. Parshas Noso talks about the Nesiim, each one does what he's supposed to do and brings korbanos, and is achdus, there's unity, there's focus, everything goes fantastically. Parshas Baloischa also. Daba Amad Baloischa Sanero is the next part of Kachas Leviim to separate Klal Yisrael and Leviim. So here we have a very finely tuned Klal Yisrael, exactly what they should be doing, how they have the Midbar, and how they're organized with the Mishkan in the middle, and Kinnor, Machne Leviyo, and all the, everything's going wonderfully. Then we have Vayhi Ben Sar Haroin, yeah, talking about the parasha, and then things take very, very quickly a downward turn. If you look in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Ha'om Kemis Oinanim, the Klal Yisrael became complainers. They complained. Now let's just get perspective over here. Who are we dealing with? It almost sounds like, yeah, a summer camp, a teenage summer camp. Yeah? What are they grumbling about? What are they grumbling about? You're dealing here with Klal Yisrael, who's a Dor Deo. These people have seen Yetzias Mitzrayim. These people have seen Kriyas Yam Suf. They're living on Mon. They have every day, they have the we have Moshe Rabbeinu giving them Shu'urim. We have Sora Lofin, Sorim Meo, Sorim Asoris. We have all different Sorim. We have a perfectly organized nation that is being completely organized by the Torah. And what's the Pasuk say? What did they say? It says over here, Zachar Asafsa Bekav Yitzavu Tava, they had a Taiva. And what did they say? Mi yachlenu basa, who's going to feed us meat? What? Are they short of meat? They're short of meat, says Rashi. What, there's a shortage of meat over here? What does Rashi say? Oh? Yeah, v'chi lo yehoi lehem basa, they don't have meat. V'ale kvanema v'gam erevav ole itom v'tsoyne boko. There are loads of cattle and sheep they left Mitzrayim with. V'im toima ochlum, you say they may have eaten it already. You know, they had Rebbe Sheyom Toivim. No. V'haloi, but can you saw some the Oretz Nemo Mikne Rav Hoyle Bnei Ruvain? There are plenty Mikne when he came. Sorry, Maya, I had to throw that in. Yeah, there are plenty Mikne when he came to Eretz Yisrael. Zog Rashi, what Elo Shemavakshim Alila. They just want to have a good fight. That's what they want. In other words, they want meat. Oh, okay, you know what? Meat I can understand. Yeah, but what's missing? Zachanes Adogo, Vesa Kishuim, Vesa Vatichim. exact translation, Kshurim Avatichim, difficult to translate, it's probably become some kind of marrow, or Avatichim, or exactly. Es Achotzi, Es Abatzalim, Es Ashumi. No, Batzal and Shum is. Yeah, remember the good old days when we ate Batzal and Shum. Ah! Okay. But by the way, these are the only things that were bad for them, because a pregnant woman is not so good for them, and therefore the mom didn't taste of these things. Now, what did they yes have? Says a Pasuk. Vahamon! It was fantastic. It was a wonder. It was a miracle drug. Every single day was Monday. Can you imagine? Every day Monday? Yeah? Monday and Shabbos. Every day was Monday. Yeah? Yeah? And they had everything they could possibly want. And it said it beautiful, fresh, anything you thought of, it tasted of. And while they're sitting there, remember the kishur and Adam Mitzrayim. You know, it's like sitting by a Suda. Imagine you go to the most beautiful wedding. Everything. You don't have to pay for anything. Beautiful. Give me everything. Eifa chumus. Then chumus. Ah! Remember the chumus. I'm complaining about. We're dealing here with adults, not dealing here with children. What's going on over here? Now, listen to this. Moshe Rabbeinu listens to this. Ube'ena Moshe Ra. Yeah, Moshe's not very happy about this. So this is a parakeet, Aleph, Pasuk, Aleph. But Yoyimei Moshe Lashem, as Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama Hereisu La'avtuchov, Lama Le'mesudchein Beinecho, why are you blaming me? Why am I in charge of here? Why am I responsible? So he said, am I responsible for this? Too much! Behind you, boss, we're going to get meat to feed this nation. They'll cry and give us meat. Lo uchal anuichi levadi, I can't manage kichobin mimeni. It's too much. Yeah, good point. Yeah. In other words, if they're complaining about me, and it's only about complaining, yeah, there's no end to what they're going to complain about. Yeah? You know that. Yeah? Once a person starts complaining, there's no end. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's it, kichobin mimeni, I want to resign. That's it, it's too much for me. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu did not resign, did not put in his resignation, when it came to the eagle. He didn't. He davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he begged for them, and he got a kapara. Over here, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm out of this. It's too much for me. So this is more than an eagle. Really? It's worse than an eagle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say, Moshe Rabbeinu, put yourself together, and everything's okay, I'll sort you out. He didn't say that. He said, if you're right, you're right, you're absolutely correct. It is too much for you. Get 70 Anoshim, get 70 Zakenim, and they'll help you. So the kasha obviously is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu throwing up his hands with frustration over here when they aren't serving the Avodah Zarah? They're grumbling. Everyone likes it. Right? You like a good grumble sometimes. Everyone likes a good grumble sometimes. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, ugh, I can't anymore. When he comes over here, when he comes to over here, he can't, and he has to get Shivim Ish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to him. What's the story behind it? What's going on?
Here they're complaining now about Taiva. They just want Taiva. They're going after the Gashmias. At least with the Mozara, they're looking for someone. You know, but here they're just talking about the meat. They're talking about it's usually
the lush. Taiva.
Yeah, his Abu Taiva. They looked for Taiva.
Right. So it's a whole different type of complaining now.
Yes.
They're moving on to.
Correct. But it's not one of the three. Are various chamuras. Yeah? If it was one of three of various chamuras, yeah, there wouldn't be many of us around. Yeah? And the Avodah Zarah is one of various chamuras. This isn't. It doesn't carry a death penalty, but it's what's going on over here? Yeah, Reb Held said. Rambling about chumus. Haile Hemetakol, they had everything here. Remember the Kishuim, the Avatichim, never had that. So he didn't have it. Asma. Moshe Rabbeinu gives up. What's going on over here? So Shimshon Pinkas has a beautiful, beautiful vault. And he says over here like this. There's a big difference. Yes.
They were on the move.
Yes.
Kishuim and Shum, they grow in the ground.
Right.
So there's no way you could grow them in the desert.
Well, interestingly enough, the Medrash brings down that the Be'er Shel Miriam, it wasn't just a Be'er, there was an oasis that grew all different kinds of fantastic plants and vegetations in the middle of the Midbar. Wherever you went, there was an oasis and it travelled with them. Hmm. So it could have.
They could have.
They could have, but they had that as well. In other words, David asked the same possibility. It could have been possible. It could have. Yeah. It could have. So what's going on over here? What's that? No, that was early on in the Torah. But in here, when they go through the Midbar, that they had an oasis that carried on all the way through. So let's traveling oasis. Yeah. So what's going on over here? So very, very bekitzer. We're not very long, but very bekitzer. Shimon Shapinkas comes up with the following malach, and he says like this. He says there's a difference between meat and milk. When a person drinks milk, or has a, they both come from an animal, and they're both healthy. But the difference is, milk is a direct connection with a when a child feeds from the mother. It has a direct connection to the mother. It is a bond that is connecting with the mother. Everything the mother eats goes through to the child. The nutrients, the tastes even, go through to the child. However, if a person eats meat, yeah, it's not a connection to the animal. The animal is dead, and it's not the food has gone through and you have a taste in the meat. It's a dry part of it. With that marshal, the Medrash brings down the chilik between Klal Yisrael before Parashas Bala Yisrael, early on in Parashas Bala Yisrael now. Earlier on, Klal Yisrael had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything they needed was a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If they had a shaila in halacha, let me give an example. Let's say somebody comes along and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I've got a problem. On Rosh Hashanah, or it comes to a Rav, not Moshe Rabbeinu, somebody comes to a Rav and says, I've got a terrible problem. My wife gave birth on Rosh Hashanah, I had to go to the hospital, there's no shofar around, and I missed Kir Shofar on the Rosh Hashanah day. You can't, yeah, today is Tzom Gedalia, what am I supposed to do? Look in the Shulchan Aruch. You know, it's tough, what can I tell you? Moshe Rabbeinu gets asked the same shaila. We were Tomei Pesach Rishon, what are we supposed to do? Let me ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yisrael says, no problem, make a Pesach Sheni. Do you understand what relationship they had? In other words, they could change Shilas. They had a direct hotline to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu answered the Shilas immediately. Anything they needed was directly from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every Shilas they had was directly from Kodesh Baruch Hu. It wasn't a Shulchan Aruch that was second hand from Doir HaDoir. This was directly with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that was what Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to give them with the month. But sometimes, living with Rabbeinu Shleilam is sometimes within the world of what we see it. Some people say it's too much. Imagine living in the home of the Chassam Sofer. Every meal you buy the Chassam Sofer, you go with him to shul, you go back with him. It's a lot, right? It gets a bit heavy. They want to live a normal life. I want to be normal. So what they're saying is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a certain life that is Parshas Bala Yischar, where we're all living in a midbar, and we're living as a group, and there's Koyanim, and there's Levim, and Yisraelim, and there's Mon, and we're living in this bubble of spirituality that is so fantastic, that sometimes we just want to be quote-unquote normal. Yeah? We want to have regular batal, we want onions, we want garlics, we don't want this Mon.
It's like flip-up.
You just want to, it gets tough. You want to be normal, as it were. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says to them, so they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we don't want this mom. We're not just complaining about the taste or the quality or remembering. We don't want mom. We want to be normal. We want to live in a world of normal. And we don't want Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't want Moshe Rabbeinu telling us every shayla. We want to have Rabbonin that we can go to, not a Novi telling us what to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. Moshe Rabbeinu said, they don't want me, I'm going to resign, I can't. They don't want me alone. Moshe says, you're right, Klal Yisrael have now changed. Klal Yisrael don't deserve to have you alone. Klal Yisrael don't deserve to have a relationship just with me. You've got to have Shivim Sekenim that are now Tamid HaChachamim, Muvhakim, they know the Halacha. But there's no direct line to Kodesh Baruch Hu that you can have a Pesach Sheni. You can't have a Rosh Hashanah Sheni. There's no such thing. There is now a separation. And now, from going from milk and having a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were, like suckling from the mother and having that relationship, it has now moved on to a meat relationship, where this is something that is being nurtured, but not having a direct relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is something that they moved across. And that, Rabbosai, was the beginning of the end. That was the beginning of the end. We have at the end of the parasha, from this parasha, this Oinonim, it goes all the way down step by step. It starts off with Mis'olim. Next parasha is parasha Shlach Lecha. What is Shlach Lecha? Shlach Lecha is all about Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't want, you took us out of Mitzrayim. We took us out with Nissim. Thank you. Great. But we're going into Eretz Yisrael. We want to be a normal nation. Where policemen, where, yeah, whatever it is, yeah, the quote that they said, we want to be a normal nation. That's what we want. And we can't. We can't, you know, we can't do ourselves. They're too mighty for us. I, Ribbono Shel Olam, will help you. I don't want Ribbono Shel Olam too much in my life. We want to do things ourselves, and it's too much for us. Parshas Korach. What's Korach about? Machlokes v'Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all about Kulam Kedoshim. What, somebody's more special? We're socialists, we're communists, everyone's special. Somebody's more special than the other. That was all the way down, one after the other. This was a slippery slope that went all the way through. So we have the parasha of Kaisal Kavayachal, of having the milk at the beginning of the parasha, Parashas Bamidbar, which is relationship with connection, with bond with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Then we have the end of Parashas Bamidbar, which is disconnection with living the normal life, quote unquote, which is saying, it's too much, I want to live a normal life. This is the end of the parasha. And in the middle, we have a summary that makes a swap and says, Vahibin Sar Orek Vayim Amesha, Kuma Hashem. If you live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how your life will look. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will carry you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you panos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you nachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you health. Baruchus HaBagashmius. Don't forget this message. No. We don't want to have that relationship. We want to live in a normal world. How does that practically relate to us? How do we live a normal life? How do we live not a normal life with Ribbono Shel Olam? So Shimon Shel Pinchas gives a very nice moshel. He says, imagine a man has a flight. Yeah, he's got a flight in the evening, and he says to his wife, do me a favor, I've got to have supper at 6 o'clock on the dot, because I've got to leave the house at 6:30. I've got to go to the airport, I've got a flight in the evening. Make sure I have supper, because it's a long flight. Anyway, he comes home. Supper isn't ready, and his wife's chatting merrily on the phone to her friend. Yeah, like there's no end, right? What do you do then, Herzl? What do you do, David? What do you do?
We have no experience.
You have no experience of that. That's wonderful, right? That's wonderful. Yeah. So you can get very, very upset. No, I told you, 6 o'clock. I have a flight. Do me a favor, please. I'm a husband. I'm going away now. I live like the mass meal. Who knows when I'm going to? He's speaking to your friend. Or you can live with Ribbono Shel Olam before you come in and say Ribbono Shel Olam. If I am supposed to be getting the supper, I will get the supper. If I'm not supposed to get it, it's because you don't want me to get it. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get upset. If you live with Ribbono Shel Olam, that's fine. If you live a normal life, and just like that is living with Klal Yisrael afterwards, and that's where the problems begin. That's where things go slippery. That I just want to give you one last moshel, and I hope nobody will take me too much, each in your own level. But there's somebody who said to me recently, I saw him recently, very, very connected to his phone. In the middle of davening, he was on his phone. And I saw him even, he was taking his wife out. And they were both texting on their phones while on anniversary. No, not to each other. They were texting. So I said to him, he's acquaintance, I won't say a friend acquaintance, I said to him, are you involved in medical issues? Or you? He says, no, I've got a. He's not. Very proudly, he said, I have X number of Facebook
followers.
Facebook followers. He thought I've got a mamish like stand up for him. Like, so I really don't know. I don't know. I'm not Facebook. But wow, is that good? He says, well, is that good? The average person has this amount. I said, and that's wonderful. But what is it doing to your marriage? Is it? He said, I do admit I have an addiction. I said, how does that affect you? He said, yeah, it affects me, but it's got to be normal. You know, everyone's connected to social media today. Everyone's connected to social media today. I said, is it affecting your davening? Yes. Is it affecting your learning? Yes. Is it affecting your marriage? Yes. Is it affecting your children? Yes. Is it affecting your work? Yes. I said, so why don't you drop it? Why don't you drop it? Why don't you drop it? Disconnect. And what's going to happen then? What's going to happen to you? You get your wife back, you get your kids back, you get your Torah back, No, I've got to be normal. So this is somebody who has given up everything for being normal. Yeah? And Nebuch Rachmanus. So I said to him, I'm begging you. For 1 week, try it. Tamu ra'u ki tov Hashem. Taste it. See it. He came back after the week with tears in his eyes and he gave me a hug. And he said, you have no idea how my life has changed by the fact that I have listened to you, I have got rid of my phone, I've got the thing, and he said, by no means am I completely healed, I've got to make sure that I keep going on this. But living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, understanding that there is, that, you know, we don't live in the normal world. We have so many different distractions. That's living with the Bein Shleilam. That is, Vayhibin Sa'orin, Kum Hashem Inuchu Secho. That is the difference between before and afterwards. Living with Bein Shleilam or not living with Bein Shleilam is a perception that we've got to have, knowing what our priorities are. Thank you very much.